your voice in the morning.
10 minutes after 7 a.m. this morning. If you've just turned on your radios and joined us, or welcome into it, good to have you in our company. This is Breakfast Beat, proudly brought to you by Topeka Spur Kenilworth Centre. You can call them on 021-671-6191. Now, as you would know, yesterday the Portfolio Committee on Environmental Affairs held an inquiry into the alleged closing of Clifton's Fourth Beach back in December 23rd, if I'm not mistaken. Now, beachgoers say that they were escorted off the beach by the PPA, that's a private security company, and then I'm sure you know the rest because we've been speaking about it quite in depth over the past few weeks. But yesterday was the day in which, you know, the various stakeholders were all in the same room and, of course, you know, got to air their bits that which form part of the investigation. But joining us online, someone who's at the fore of this particular issue is none other than Siham Somai, attorney. Assalamu alaikum, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Assalamu alaikum to all the listeners and to you.
Thanks, Siham. Now, of course, yesterday got pretty heated in the sense that, you know, your presentation put forward to the various parties and stakeholders. You know, on the outset, if we can just, for the benefit of our listeners, understand, you know, who were the stakeholders that attended yesterday's meeting?
Well, yesterday it was two of the beachgoers, which was myself and Selena Williams, and we represented the 12 beachgoers of the 23rd of December. And then there was also the city of Cape Town, PPA was there, CIRA was there, which is the association that governs private security companies. And then you had the Clifton Bungalows Association that was there, Department of Environmental Affairs, as well as FAPS.
Sure. Now, take us through, you know, some of the highlighted points of your presentation that was presented at yesterday's gathering.
Well, one of the issues that we raised was, firstly, that our coast must remain or is a national asset, and that what happened on the 23rd of December is what we call it's a barrier to achieving equitable access to public beaches. For the majority of people in Cape Town. And we also said that by not addressing the challenges on the Atlantic seaboard or what happened, we are reinforcing or perpetuating structural and spatial apartheid planning. That is some of the issues that we've raised. We also questioned whether or not there was a relationship between the city of Cape Town and the security company, and what was the role of the Ratepayers Association. And it was a bit bizarre in terms of the things that were coming out.
Yeah.
Around, for example, the relationship between PPA and the city of Cape Town, because PPA was insisting that there was a relationship, because they would not be on the beach without some form of mandate. But it was very clear that they never had any agreement or that no agreement with the city of Cape Town.
Has there been, is there a history between the city of Cape Town and the PPA?
I didn't get that.
Siham, is there a history between the city of Cape Town and the PPA?
Well, that was one of the things which the chairperson raised, because they said there must have been a relationship between them. PPA was insisting that they will not go onto the public spaces without City of Cape Town contacting them or asking them to come with them. I mean, they were highlighting that on the 16th and 23rd, all of those particular days, that they were called in to patrol. Whereas the City of Cape Town was denying that there was any relationship with PPA.
But on the 23rd, did you notice any of the Metro Police?
No, there was no police. That is one of the issues that I raised, but that is also one of the challenges. Because what was the mandate of PPA then? I mean, you cannot just patrol on a public space without the law enforcement, because that was one of the questions that was asked by the chairperson. Because there was this particular filter that was in the newspapers, I mean, about, you know, what was happening on the beach. And it was a photo that was disputed at some point, because firstly the city indicated that it was their photo. I mean, they handed this photo out to the gallery, to everybody to see, highlighting that it was their photo that came from the lifeguard hut. Subsequently, the same photo appeared in the bundle of PPA. And at that point, clarity had to be obtained, because they first indicated that that was not, it was not the same photo, but it was exactly the same one. They had to backtrack at some point to say that they received it via media and it must have been PPA. The question that was raised was, what was your relationship? Did PPA give this to you? And how did it end up in your bundle? And I know that it's, and those were some of the things that came out. I mean, what is the relationship between PPA and the City of Cape Town?
See, it almost seems like there's ping pong happening here, in the sense that, you know, have we established whether, you know, there is a current relationship between the City of Cape Town and the PPA?
Well, I mean, one of the other bizarre things is that the City of Cape Town actually also laid a complaint with SAPS, brought charges against the PPA in relation to bringing, and that is what came out by SAPS, and SAPS was very clear. SAPS had a very powerful, to-the-point presentation around what charges were before them, what was happening on the 16th, what was happening on the 23rd of December. And they also highlighted, I mean, that the types of crimes that were brought, I mean, during that period, I mean, they highlighted some of the stats, and it wasn't significant. They said that it did not justify what happened on the 16th or what happened on the 23rd. Because one of the reasons it were given in terms of the closure of the beach was safety and security. But for SAPS, it was what safety and security? The City of Cape Town also laid charges against SAPS for not investigating the slaughter of the sheep. Those were some of the things that came out, and SAPS was very clear in terms of what bylaw, what law are you bringing it? You know, you need to explain.
Sure.
But it's much deeper than just the so-called eviction that happened on the 23rd of December. And we said that the City of Cape Town need to come clear in terms of their relationship with security, what is happening on the Atlantic seaboard. And I also made a few recommendations.
Yes.
And I said that Parliament firstly has an obligation or an oversight role in terms of what they did. And we welcomed what they did, because it was the first time actually that all the role players was in one space. And for us who were the beachgoers, it was quite therapeutic for me, even at some point very frustrating, but therapeutic, to actually just speak about what happened and to give my story. So we asked Parliament to consider and look at, or at least the portfolio committee, the broader impact of these incidents on social cohesion and the equitable access to coastal towns.
Sure.
And it's very important. But we also said we don't want private police forces on our beaches. We need to seek alternative measures, because clearly their approach is militaristic and not from a human rights perspective. I questioned who trains them.
So in terms of jurisdiction, you know, do they have a mandate to be on these beaches?
No. What we
so why do they insist on being there?
If there was no mandate, they had no jurisdiction. The jurisdiction is only in terms of those that appointed them, would possibly be by the bungalows and the businesses. Also, in addition to that, there was an issue around the camera, because coming back to the photo, the question was raised whether or not, when they accessed the photo, and whether or not it was legal to have a camera onto a public space. And SAP said that was not allowed. It was not allowed because you can't have a private camera onto a public space, and the people don't even know that they are being filmed. And the photos are being... And that was some of the challenges. It was very clear that that was illegal. So, clearly they did not want to say where they received the photo from, because it was from one of the bungalows. And it's just coming back to the issue of a private police force. I emphasize that if we don't have a proper implementation of a coastal policy or a bylaw in terms of the city of Cape Town, which comes out of the Integrated Coastal Management Act and the provincial plan, then we can't have a private police force, because we don't know how integration is going to look in terms of the Atlantic seaboard. Because I said, at some point we need to integrate the Atlantic seaboard. At what point is black people going to stop being commuters to the beaches? And we know the best beaches is sitting on the Atlantic seaboard. Sure. We need to understand, when are there going to be houses that are going to build? And I made it very clear, even to the Bungalows Association, that the possibility of, you know, people that are working, which is most probably majority black people that are working within the Clifton and Camps Bay area, most probably live there. They are most probably longer times in on the Atlantic seaboard than those living in those bungalows. And so we need to look at these realities. How are we going to ensure that there's some form of integration, and how are we going to move in terms of housing for black people onto the Atlantic seaboard? And these are things that are urgent. It's things that we need to speak to the residents of the city about, and how are we going to move forward in terms of social cohesion, and also move forward in terms of unity.
See, I'm looking at yesterday's proceedings, you know, in terms of the response from the city of Cape Town and the various stakeholders. I recall, you know, there was a bit of drama going on in terms of, you know, Councillor Caroline. There were some comments from MP Steenkamp. Would you like to comment on that firstly?
Councillor Caroline and MP Steenkamp. Okay, you're talking about the two DA MPs.
Yes.
Are you speaking about the chairperson requested the advisor to the mayor to leave?
Yes.
What happened was that as I was giving my presentation,
sure,
you know, going through about the third or fourth slide, consistently she was making comments. Now, I was just going on with my presentation.
Were you able to hear these comments?
Yeah, Fadla could also hear the comments next to me, and it related to some of the things that I've said. But the chairperson could see directly, because he was sitting in front, and it was gestures, it was comments, it was consistently speaking. I couldn't obviously see that, but her comments, you know, was around the latency that I was speaking about.
Now,
but I never saw her gestures.
Sure.
But like I said, the chairperson could see that, and at that point he asked her to stop, and she questioned him in terms of stop why, and I think it was that altercation where he requested her to leave.
Sure.
And he said at the end, if this is the behavior of officials of the city of Cape Town, the way they speak to people, it's clear that she is by nature a bully. And many people obviously didn't see what was happening, but at the end of the day, he interacted with her and it was not appropriate. But then one of the MPs also stood up, and at the end, the chairperson raised the issue again, and he said he was very disappointed, though.
Sure.
The environment, but also in all the MPs, because he said that the environmental portfolio or the committee works very well together. He highlighted it. And he said they work well together. They've got good relationship with each other. They've never really align themselves in terms of their political affiliations, you know, when they are in this committee, and they try to be as neutral and as unbiased as possible. But he said this particular issue actually showed those two MPs' party alliance, their alliance. Mm-hmm. I mean, the city of Cape Town was consistently speaking and saying that, you know, they felt that this was cheap politicking, and it was a political issue that was being exploited. Not a political issue, it was an issue.
Does politics have a basis, you know, in an issue like this?
Well, I mean, politics is in everybody's life.
Mm.
But my problem that I had was the allegation that this was a party that we were aligned.
Mm.
I made it very clear that those people were my friends.
Mm.
I attended there because it was a picnic, and it's because a friend of mine asked me to come. And I said I felt that the insinuations that was made all the time, that I was being identified with the party which some of the members in that group, in particularly the provincial secretary of the
yes.
ANC, I was also being identified because of his party association.
Sure.
Was wrong.
Sure.
I indicated that I felt offended by that. And also it was undignified, and that at the end of the day, that the mayor and the city of Cape Town, they had to do a proper investigation, notwithstanding the fact that certain persons in that particular group was party aligned. And the questioning that also came from these two MPs was in that manner. I think they never really wanted to know possibly what happened on the day. Who did you attend with?
Mm. Sam, we have two minutes to go.
And those were the questions which I think was not proper.
Sure. We have 2 minutes to go, and I just want to know, you know, in terms of response from the city side, I know Councillor Zahid Badruddin was in attendance as well. Some comment with regards to the response from the city.
Well, at the end of my presentation, I told the city of Cape Town I was disappointed in what they did and how they approached this particular matter. Their response in Parliament, for me, was exceptionally defensive. They denied all relation. I mean, they denied that they ever had a relationship with the PPA, which doesn't make sense in terms of the media reports and many of the pictures that came into the media and that was circulated. There is some form of a relationship, but they just blatantly denied that. They also indicated and confirmed what happened on the 16th of December. One of their main reasons for closing some of the beaches, which they deny is a shutdown, it's just a closure, it's safety and security. But they were also pushing the narrative, and that's the same narrative of the ratepayers, which is the Bungalows Association, as well as PPA, that all of this was done in the interest of safety and security. And I indicated, if that is the story, then we need to shut down Sandfontein, Madandi Beach, all of those areas, because we know that the rate of violence in most of our beaches is exceptionally high. Why is it done in this particular manner? But those questions obviously weren't answered. And we were, I have to say again, I was very disappointed in this councillor who is Badruddin.
Just one more question. You know, with regards to you guys being removed from the beach, this was due to an alleged rape that had occurred. But that rape or those rapes were never reported to the police.
Never
so what was the point then?
The point was, and I think that is what SAPS also indicated. They went through the all the charges. Major General Veery went through all the occurrences that happened during November and December. He said he explained what happened, but I think that the purpose was to actually reflect and show that there is a high level of crime, which means that whatever happened on those beaches had to happen because in the interest of safety and security. And the city of Cape Town said that. It was done. I mean, this Councillor Badruddin was consistently speaking about it was in the interest of your safety. It was, and also speaking for the security guard, and they weren't even there, saying that the security guard did what he did because in our safety. They had no idea what that person said because they never even asked us. The investigation of the mayor never extended to the 12 people that were there.
So very quickly, we have, I'm so sorry, we have 30 seconds to go. You know, in terms of Yes's inquiry, what process will now follow?
Well, there is a huge amount of investigations that are still on its way. There's the investigation with Shira. There's the the complaints that are being done. There is still the outstanding investigations with SAP. The Department of Environmental Affairs will also be looking at these broader barriers that is happening on the Atlantic seaboard. And so there's a range of existing investigations that are still continuing.
Sure. Siyam Samai, as always, an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing with us this morning, and I'm sure we will be touching base with you once again soon. Thank you for your time.
Shukran.
Only a pleasure. And that was Siham Samai, attorney and a part of the Women's Legal Centre as well, speaking to us about the Parliament inquiry into the Clifton incident that took place in December. We'll head out for your headlines at the bottom of the hour.